visions of who Jesus Christ is in such a concise amount of verses. I'm going to focus primarily on verses 15 to 20. So if you're looking in your pew Bible, you can open to page 1088, I believe, is what it was. So what this passage actually does is it draws on an old form of poetry called chiasm. And chiasm uses mirroring images and themes. You mind going to the next one? And it's based off of this Greek letter chi, which looks like our X. And this is actually a really helpful way to think about the structure of a chiasm, because it uses the images and lines from the first sort of section. It flows into a central point and then flows back out using sort of mirroring images and phrases. And there's a certain sort of symmetry to it that I find pretty appealing, but a lot of our modern minds don't really pick up on it. It appealed to a different kind of mindset. You couldn't just read this passage once and understand it, because the structure of the poem is revealed as you go through it multiple times, that you see where things start to line up and where they match. And then you come to identify this central point. And we often miss out on this because we're trained to expect conclusions at the end of paragraphs and things like that. So it requires a different kind of an attention, where the reader isn't just some outsider that's taking information away from it, but what's really being asked for is for you to participate in the poetry, to follow its movement and flow. And by having your attention drawn to these matching images that are being compared and held together, that's when you start to realize the message that it's holding. So this particular chiasm in Colossians is such a powerful way of speaking about Jesus, because the way it says things kind of signifies what it says as well, that the form and the content are quite well matched. So let's take a look at the passage. Up on the screen, if you don't mind flipping to the next one, I don't know if this will be readable for all of you, but I tried to structure it so that it was somewhat visible. This is a slightly different translation than what's in your pew Bibles, but this maybe kind of highlights the sense in which we read things differently nowadays than would have been in that time. So if you are reading along in your pew Bible, I encourage you to try to identify some of these repeated words and phrases for yourself. But I'll read it as I have written up there. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. So you probably noticed some of these repeated phrases. They're hard to miss. But I think more or less what's going on is we have the first section speaking about Jesus Christ being the firstborn of all creation. And then in the latter half, it's about him being the firstborn from the dead. So we have these two sides. One about how Jesus gives life, and then how Jesus gives new life by reconciling us. So you have the one end, the other end, it's kind of a sandwich, and the meaty part in the center is this message that everything is held together in Christ. Christ is at the center of it all. All things have been created through him and for him, and by him we are reconciled. And I think there's something nice about that kind of tidy symmetry, the order and structure of it. That in a chiasm, the X just marks the spot, and Christ is at the center of it all. In him, all things hold together. But it's also interesting to note that the first letter of Christ in the Greek is also this letter, chi. That the cross marks Jesus in a particular way, and the cross marks this point where all things are held together. It's upon the cross that we come to notice this intersection between Christ's creation and the redemption that he's offering. But the challenge is that this kind of symmetry and order doesn't really feel like the way the world works all the time. It's not really reflective of our history. The time leading up to the cross was marked with chaos, and following it, it seems to be kind of the case that it's still pretty chaotic out there. And it just sort of feels like chaos reigns in the universe, that everything is just sort of bound to fall apart at some point. And poets have often tried to speak about this, about how do we deal with this chaos? And they often will go to very particular ordered ways of speaking about it. They rhyme, they set up complex structures. Yeats, for example, does this quite interestingly. And there's a passage, you don't even need to have read Yeats, you're probably familiar with it, from a poem, his poem, The Second Coming, where he says the line, "Things fall apart. The center cannot hold." And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I just kind of go, yeah. Like, things fall apart. When I look at the world, it seems like chaos kind of just rules. You look at the world and you see war, disease, pollution, natural disasters, all kind of things just tearing nations, families, like everything just feels like it's being torn at. But this chiasm in Colossians is addressing that kind of disorder. This author would have known these pains of sin and death. But I think more importantly, it's upon the cross that Jesus knows this sense of chaos and loss. That the cross is the intersection where Jesus addresses everything that brings chaos and destruction. The cross is the precise point at the center of everything. All that divides, all that pulls apart, Christ receives all of this upon the cross. And he holds it. Now, this information about the importance of Jesus and how he took on sins and died is likely not all that new to you. But I want you to hold on to something you maybe haven't entirely appreciated before. Because this sense of who Jesus is not simply a fact that we accept or reject. We can't know Jesus in an objective, disconnected way. Knowing requires participation in what is known. And similar to this chiasm, to appreciate the depth of meaning, we need to enter into this life and let it guide us, to follow the flow and let it guide our understanding. And faith is different from facts. We need to receive the sense of who Jesus is by being drawn into relationship with him, recognizing that we were created by him and for him. And when we feel like things are falling apart, he is there holding us. We need to participate in Christ's life that he has given us from the beginning to the end. And to come to know him, we recognize that he created everything like through himself. And as we do this, we also come to realize that we exist for Christ. That just as he ordered creation, he also seeks to order our own lives with his own lordship. And today's the reign of Christ, which is all about Christ's rule in this world. I think we need to consider how he orders us. But I can't tell you exactly how this works out in your own lives. I don't think there's really an abstract principle that you could all apply for yourselves. But I think there's one way in which we can mirror what Christ has done. He died for us, and he gave himself over to us wholly. And we just need to try to mirror that action by giving ourselves to him, to his life, to follow his lead. And I just want us to encourage you in paying attention to that kind of way in which Christ is calling toward you to resemble him and his ministry, and allow this to be the guiding principle in your life as you go forward. And I think in doing so, we kind of say no to the reign of chaos. We're like, no, we won't let sin rule our lives. We won't let these disasters transform the way we orient ourselves towards the rest of the world. Like that we will actually seek the order of our Lord in this world and in our own lives. So as things are falling apart around us, we should turn to Christ. Look for the ways in which we could mirror his life. And as we look at him, I think he truly holds us all together. That in him, all things hold together. That Jesus is the center that holds. Christ reigns over chaos. In him, all things truly do hold together. Amen.